How's it going, everyone? Welcome to the Phillies Today podcast. This is June 26th. Dan Wilson coming to you following a loss last night, a 4-1 loss to the Detroit Tigers. Rubber match later on today, 1:10 Eastern against the Tigers. We'll get into that matchup in just a little bit. But yeah, Phillies lose last night at the hands of the Detroit Tigers and the Atlanta Braves. Well, they had their game postponed against the St. Louis Cardinals. They will play a doubleheader today, so no movement in terms of the National League East standings. The Phillies open up play today, 52-27. Braves open up 43-33, so a 7.5 game lead as they open up play on Wednesday. Again, Braves will play two games in St. Louis today, day-night doubleheader. Phillies have a rubber match, 1:10 game in Detroit today. And wanted to just give you my quick takeaways from the game. Number one, and I do not want to discredit what this guy has done at the plate this season, or you know, the way he turned around his season late last year in August and September during the division series. But I mean, the play of the game and the talking point coming out of last night's game has to be the play that Trey Turner did not make there in the fifth inning. The game really kind of slipped away from the Phillies in that fifth inning. All of the Tigers' runs came in the bottom of the fifth. Ranger Suarez, he was kind of getting Mickey Mouse to death a little bit, but certainly a play that unfortunately does go down in the box score as a base hit. Don't think it should go in a base hit. It was Ryan Creedler from the Detroit Tigers who hit a ball for runners on first and second, and nobody out at this point. First two guys in the inning had got on. And Trey Turner boots a slow roller. And he was clearly trying to try and flip it to third base, I think, with his glove, try and get the lead runner. And he booted it. And this is not the first time we've seen this in a Phillies uniform. This is not the first time that Trey Turner has played below his pay grade, if you will, at shortstop in a Phillies uniform. I mean, this is a guy who is being paid $300 million over, you know, the next 11 years and has the highest salary on the team, technically making about $1 million more than Bryce Harper per year. Bryce Harper making $330 million over 13 years. Turner making $300 over 11, so it's, you know, $27 million versus $26 million, something along those lines. But, you know, Trey Turner at the plate, first 4 months of last season, did not hold up his end of the bargain. End of last year was really good and has been really good at the plate this year. But when it comes to defensively, when it comes to how he fields his position, when it comes to holding up that end of the bargain, and when you're signing a shortstop of that kind of money, you're signing him to be your everyday shortstop for a really long time, for the next generation, for the next era of Phillies baseball. He's not held up that end of the bargain, and it is really, really frustrating. This is not the first time it's happened. You know, the standing ovation last year happened after he had basically a game-losing error in Miami. He's had botched routine plays, and plays certainly a $300 million shortstop should make a number of times, I mean, almost countless times at this point during his Phillies career. And it's not good. And it does concern me. Yeah, are we going to look back at the end of the season and say, hey, you know, game two of a three-game series in Detroit, like, remember when Trey Turner blew that game? Are we going to be saying that in late September? Probably not. Like, probably that is not what we'll be saying. But, you know, in a playoff game, when the margins become razor thin, and in a playoff game when, you know, over the course of a 162-game season, you can kind of hide that stuff more, because how often is, you know, your shortstop's poor defense or making errors, things like that, going to affect you? I mean, it's not more than his offense. Over the course of a 162-game season, the good is going to by far outweigh the bad with Trey Turner. But when you get into a playoff series, and you know, hopefully the Phillies win the division, can avoid a three-game series this year, but even a five-game series or a seven-game series, and you're playing a team like the Braves, like the Dodgers, that kind of stuff could matter. It could make or break a game. It could end up making or breaking your season. And because the margins become so thin and you don't have that large sample size, things that might negatively impact you on a relatively infrequent basis, such as Trey Turner's defense, you know, in relation to a 162-game season, they might pop up a little bit more or might play a stronger role in your ultimate advancement or elimination in a playoff series. So that is, I think, absolutely a concern of mine. The idea has been thrown out, you know, on WIP by Joe Giglio and by a number of others, you know, Would you ever consider moving him to the outfield? He does have outfield experience in his career. Would you ever consider, playing a guy like Edmundo Sosa every day at shortstop when Turner was on the injured list? I mean, Sosa played a great shortstop, and it's almost at the point where I think Trey Turner's the third best defensive shortstop on this Phillies roster. I think it goes Sosa, Bryson Stott probably plays a better shortstop right now than Trey Turner does, and then Turner's the third, but Sosa being the clear-cut first, and he's done enough with the bat to justify being in the lineup and, remaining in the lineup each and every day. If you had a game right now, if Rob Thompson had a game right now where he had to make a lineup, in a game seven situation for his life, what would he do? And it's probably not the type of switch you're going to see mid-season unless something really, really unforeseen or catastrophic happens. If the rate at which he plays poorly at shortstop, becomes even worse, it's probably the type of decision that, to a large extent, is above Rob Thompson's pay grade. That's the type of conversation you sit down with Trey Turner in the front office and say, hey, we're going to start playing you in the outfield, or we want to move you to second base, whatever the case might be later on in his contract. Kind of hard for me to see them doing that this year. It's not the type of decision you would make in the playoffs. If anything, you would want to try it out in the regular season before you get into the playoffs. And I wouldn't mind if maybe he started trending in that direction eventually. I just don't see it this year. I do not see it this year. But I don't think Trey Turner is going to be a shortstop for all 10 years he's here. This is year two of a 10-year contract, and he's already struggling at shortstop. It feels like even on his best days, he's an average shortstop, and overall, he's been a below average and bad defensive shortstop. So that has been disappointing to see. It has been really, really disappointing to see and frustrating to see. And so, I think we're at a point with Trey Turner where we're just going to have to hope it doesn't happen in a playoff series. I don't think it's changing this year. Maybe it's something we see again next year in spring training. Maybe it's something we see toyed with in the regular season at a later point. Right now, when the Phillies are, in first place, 7.5 game lead in the division, and we're sitting here on June 26th, I don't know if we're going to see a July, August, and September of Trey Turner playing anywhere but shortstop. But something certainly to keep an eye on. And then just a couple of minutes on this, because I feel like it's become like an old man take to, complain about the scoring decisions, and it's become like a, get off my lawn type of thing. And I know some of the broadcasters, it bothers them. But that play that Turner didn't make last night, I mean, to score that a hit is just an absolute joke for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's actually going to affect Ranger Suarez's ERA, and now his ERA is above 2, which again, still, really, really good, but there's just no reason for that to be considered an earned run. When we're supposed to be able to look at stats at the end of a season and compare how many hits a guy had this season versus another season, or who had more hits in a given year, and if we're going to look at stats today and compare them to other eras, and there is a clear-cut change in how games are scored these days, no, it doesn't ultimately impact like the final score of a game. The runners are going to advance where they're going to advance, but I mean, it's just annoying. It's frustrating to watch, to look at players' numbers and look at players' stats and see how many hits guys are going to have at the end of the season. I mean, we're heading in a direction where there's going to be more hits, and I say hits in air quotes, than ever before in a Major League Baseball season, because frankly, the scorers just score it that way. Like, there are going to be balls that if Major League Baseball scorers had scored it this way for the entirety of baseball history, we would see different numbers as recently as 5-10 years ago. And it's frustrating. It kind of makes everything Mickey Mouse. It kind of waters it down. It waters a guy's going to extend a hitting streak because he rolls one over to shortstop. The guy can't, Trey Turner can't make a routine play for a major league shortstop, and therefore the guy like extends a hitting streak on that, or therefore, Ranger Suarez, he's on the hook for that. Like, in what world is that a hit? It just cheapens. It cheapens everything, and it's frustrating, and clearly there seems to be a memo on this to, I guess, increase offensive numbers, but it's gone way too far. And it's like, who are we kidding? Anyone with two eyes who was watching that game last night or has seen the play since knows that was not a base hit, and it's frustrating as hell. So that is something that does bother me. I know that there's been a number of plays that have been overturned since, teams who, go on to appeal it to try and either get an error or take away an error from their guy or get a hit for their guy. I think the the procedure seems to be that a team has, you know, give or take about 24 hours to appeal that kind of stuff, at least until the next day's game. There's no reason why that should be. No reason Trey Turner should be off the hook for that. He knows he's a big league shortstop. He needs to make that play. No reason that, you know, Ranger Suarez, who's in a Cy Young race at the end of the year, we're going to look at his ERA and it's going to be totally fraudulent because of this play. I mean, ultimately, over the course of a 162-game season, you figure it probably won't matter that much. But frustrating for that to be a factor at all. And at the end of the day, it's like, why? Like, what is the benefit of this? If everyone knows what's going on, who are we fooling that at the end of the season we're going to see how many hits a guy has? And it's just, it's frustrating to watch. It is a frustrating procedure that is happening around Major League Baseball this season. It's not new. It feels like it's, I mean, newer, but it's happened over the past couple of seasons. So really, really kind of frustrating to see that. On the other side here, on the Phillies Today podcast, want to get into how the offense performed last night. Only one run, and it came in the ninth inning. And also what the Phillies, I think, really need to do today from a mental standpoint. There's something very specific that I want them to do from a mental standpoint, and we'll preview the game coming on later today. You're listening to the Phillies Today podcast with Dan Wilson. Be right back. Welcome back to the Phillies Today podcast with Dan Wilson. Again, I am your host today here on Wednesday, June 26th. Coming up, rubber match, 1:10 p.m. start out at Comerica Park in Detroit. Phillies looking for, and I'll actually had this planned for second in this segment, but I want to get to it first, which is that the Phillies have not won a road series here. As I'm kind of checking my notes, you know, they lost the Baltimore series. They lost the Red Sox series. They split in London, which obviously was a home and home in terms of who batted last, but two games away from Citizens Bank Park. They lost the Giants series in San Francisco. They lost the Rockies series in Colorado. The last time they won a home or a road series was, again, it was a two-game home and home with the Mets back in May, but they won two games at Citi Field, and then before that, they won two of three in Miami. So it's coming up on more than a month, you know, like five-ish weeks since this team has won a road series. I think from a mental standpoint, today's game is huge. And I'll take it a step further. Like the Tigers in this particular case have a bullpen game going on today. They're going to start, I believe it's Tyler Holton is the guy's name. Tyler Holton. He will start as the opener, and then they're going to have a bulk situation where right-hander Keeter Montero, who has only pitched in one game in his major league career thus far, and it was back in May in a doubleheader against the Pirates. He was added as the 27th man for that doubleheader. I mean, this is supposed to be the best, you know, team in baseball. Record-wise, they've been, you know, in and out of that best record in baseball, you know, status throughout the course of the season here. This needs to be, a big day for the offense. This needs to be a really, really big day for the offense. I mean, the Tigers are not a good team so far this season. They won last night behind their ace in Skubal, which we'll get to a little bit more in that game in just a second. But I think it is really, really big for the Phillies mentally. I don't care if it's against the Tigers, to go out and win a road series, because you have, you know, a home series coming up here, four games against the Marlins, and then you go at Wrigley, at Atlanta, and, you know, those are two. Cubs aren't great this season. The Braves, obviously, right in the thick of things in terms of, not in the thick of things, but, you know, they're in second place in the division, and those have been historically two difficult places to play for the Phillies. I know they've gotten two splits in the past couple of years in Atlanta in the playoffs, and again, the Cubs are not maybe what they once were a couple of years ago, but those two places have tough crowds, and this is a day game in Detroit, you know, on a Wednesday in the middle of the summer, like, and they're not great, so I can't imagine it's going to be some, you know, amped up crowd here today. It's getaway day for the Phillies, I get it, but this feels like a day where it needs to be a big offensive performance, and a day where, like, a game, you never want to say the Phillies need to win it in June, but, like, I think it would be good for the mental psyche of this team to just get a road series win under their belts. I think it would be huge, actually, for this team to just get a road series win under their belts. And I think it's something that I don't know how much it's really weighing on the guys in that clubhouse. Again, they had the London series and a couple of weird road series in there, and the Orioles are good, and you know, I get it. And that was a bit of a weird West Coast trip with the Rockies and the Giants, but there's absolutely no reason why you can't go take two of three from the Tigers. And today feels like it needs to be a win. Spencer Turnbull will be going for the Phillies. Again, we'll preview the matchup in just a little bit here, but it feels, in Turnbull, who, by the way, is a former Tiger, you know, I'm sure a bit of a revenge spot for him. This feels like a game that the Phillies, like, should have, and a game that the Phillies, even though it's a Wednesday day game, like, kind of need to have. And just for the mental, for whatever mental aspect there is to winning a road series, because then you're going to have that linger over you for another week. You're going to go out to Wrigley. You're going to go to Atlanta. And then, you know, the pressure is going to start to build up for another week. And the discussion is going to build up for another week of, you know, this team is starting to struggle on the road. And they're becoming, you know, I don't want to call them Citizens Bank Park merchants, but, you know, they're really leaning into that home field advantage thing. And that's why you go out and try and win the best record in baseball. I get it. You want a home field advantage in the playoffs. But if you can't, if it's becoming a now a more than a month struggle to win game, you know, to win a series in Detroit or San Francisco or Colorado or Boston or whatever, what's that, or Baltimore, what's going to look like in the playoffs when you get into a playoff series and you might need to go win a game on the road if you don't entirely defend your home field, which, as good as Citizens Bank Park is, should be mentioned, both of their seasons basically ended. The last two home games of the season, games 4 and 5 in the 22 World Series, game 6 and 7 against the Diamondbacks in the NLCS, the final two home games at Citizens Bank Park were losses for this team, and that is ultimately when things went awry here. So something to monitor there. Now, wanted to get also something that this team is susceptible to in the playoffs, and I get Skubal. Turk Skubal was pitching last night. He's the AL Cy Young favorite, and he had a pitcher's duel between him and Ranger Suarez. Second time that there was a really big pitching matchup, I would say, that the Phillies were involved in, like two of the best pitchers in baseball. You had Zach Wheeler and Corbin Burns going in Baltimore on Father's Day, and that went horribly for Zach Wheeler. And then last night between Suarez and Skubal, and again, last night was not, Suarez was not, Wheeler was bad in that Baltimore start. Suarez, I thought overall, was good last night, but, you know, didn't get the benefit of the doubt on a scoring play. Didn't feel like he had his best stuff going into that fifth inning. This is now two, I'll call them big-time pitching matchups the Phillies have been on the wrong end of, which is all the more reason why I think they need to come back and win today. But it does feel like this offense is susceptible to bad nights against good pitching. And I get it, good pitching, you know, the old cliche is good pitching beats good hitting. But when you get into the playoffs, you're going to be facing really strong pitching each and every night. And in particular, the bottom of this lineup, and I understand you're down JT Realmuto, so you lose some depth there. And they'll probably make a move at the deadline for an outfielder. I think they need to. Christian Pache looks totally overmatched at the plate right now. I know they sent down Johan Rojas to keep everyone on the big league roster. But if they sent Pache down right now, I don't know if anyone would claim him. I don't know if anyone would really be sad to see him go. Feels like they definitely need another outfielder to help with that. So the offense, also something to monitor. They're generally pretty good, but when they get into these spots against really strong, good pitchers, they are certainly not immune to being effectively shut out for most of the game last night. Bryce Harper did go deep in the ninth, kind of a garbage time home run to avoid the shutout. But the offense did not have a lot to show for their efforts last night, and there really wasn't much of it. And then also something to monitor with Trey Turner, obviously coming off a hamstring injury. There was a double that Bryce Harper hit earlier in the game where Turner was on first base, and he was running it well below his sprint speed. Now, it didn't look like he was necessarily dogging it, but, you know, this is a guy who came back from injury, and maybe if he was at 100% does score on that play, who's to say how the game changes if he's able to go 100% there, if he's able to field that ball at shortstop. Could be a completely different ball game we're talking about. Want to really quickly preview today's matchup. As I mentioned, it'll be Spencer Turnbull returning to the starting rotation here for the Phillies. I mean, obviously, guy hasn't made a start since April, since Taijuan Walker came back. He's been used in piggyback roles. He's been used out of the bullpen and kind of just, you know, eat some innings type of roles. Well, he's returning to, Phillies fans are getting their wish here. Taijuan Walker has headed back to the injured list. And, you know, Spencer Turnbull going to return to this rotation against a team last year who he didn't end on the best terms with. I'm sure there's some vengeance there. I was reading a couple of stories that are worth everybody's time about how things ended in Detroit last year. He ended up basically filing a grievance with the players association agreements against the Tigers that he originally he wasn't going to get a year of service time, and the way they managed his injuries, and there was also some weird details in there that he didn't fully disclose some injuries to the Tigers. And it initially the Tigers were hoping to bring him back this season, but it seemed like they had a bit of a divorce and a disagreement, I will call it, on how to handle some of his injuries. So I'm sure Spencer Turnbull feels a certain type of way about the Tigers organization. So he will go out there, return to Comerica Park later on today, again, 1:10 p.m. Start. And then for the Tigers, it's basically a bullpen game. Tyler Holton. And then, you know, into a bulk reliever type of situation. I mean, this is a spot where, again, a guy has only pitched one game in the majors. He was called up as the 27th man. So this should be a day for the Phillies offense to flourish. It should be a day where the Phillies can come through, finally get that monkey off the back of, hey, we haven't won a road series in, you know, since the middle of May here. Can we get this done? Can we get this out of the way? Come home, take care of business against the Marlins, and then you got another big road trip next week, two National League opponents, as I mentioned, going to Wrigley Field, and then ultimately a weekend series in Atlanta. Those are going to be series that matter, series that, you know, in particular with the Braves, count at the end of the season when you look back and say, how did they fare on this type of road trip? I think it would be huge, like really, really huge for the Phillies to get this road series win thing out of the way. And just, you know, take care of business on a day where the Braves are playing two games. You know, hold your own ground. At the most, the Braves can gain a half game today if the Phillies win. If the Phillies lose in Detroit and the Braves win a couple of games, you're looking at a one and a half game swing. You're going 7.5 to 6. And the other direction, if the Phillies win and they lose two, it could go up to 9. So always interesting, always never too early to look at the standings, never too early to count the magic number, certainly in my opinion. So that's where the Phillies are at. Thank you for tuning into the Phillies Today podcast. Again, I have been your host, Dan Wilson. Phillies and Tigers coming up later today. Day game, rubber match, as they say, at Comerica Park before a four-game series against the Marlins this weekend. Fireworks night, so that should always be exciting down at the ballpark as well. Again, this has been the Phillies Today podcast. I've been your host, Dan Wilson. Have a good one, everyone. Enjoy the game.